Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
What is going on? Well, I feel like it's been ages since we've recorded.
It might have been.
Yeah. We're trying to record episodes ahead without giving it away.
That's right. Well, and you're just doing magic. Yes.
I mean, the man behind the curtain, guys. Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Josh.
I didn't realize the wizard was so ugly. Anyway, so...
Who is that comment directed to?
Well, welcome back to another great episode of Shuffology. My name's Josh DeVetta. We have Asabi Goodman.
What's up?
And Gracie Mack.
Hello.
And we are your Shuffologists. We are up to episode 26.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe...
Trust and believe.
You know, I've been trusting and believing this year, and we got to October, kids. Like, yeah. It's good.
Good on us.
Pat on the back.
Has it only been a year?
Right? I know. But thankfully, like, life is getting busier again and all that kind of stuff. We live in Queensland, and Queensland have done very well on the
COVID-19
cases scale. Yeah, so thank you. I love you, Queensland. Mm-hmm. Yes, you mean the world to
everybody else.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we have a great theme. I'm actually really, really excited for this theme. We've actually gone a bit more localized again. Well, not that's just a bad word. We've actually gone to like a single person.
Yes.
So we haven't done a single person in a minute. Mm. Probably since the Prince episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was the last single person episode. And this week, our theme is really, really cool because it's not... You're probably going to be really interested in this episode because you wouldn't believe that this person has actually written some of the biggest songs in the world. Mm. And so this week, our theme is Diane Warren. Now, Diane Warren is... like she's
prolific.
She's prolific.
Yeah.
And the woman has some coins... Can I just say, she's also a PETA activist, a vegan, yes, and she doesn't like live like she. So the way that she works, I've done a lot of research on Diane Warren.
Good.
And so she has like a studio office space in LA that she like. She literally would go to work like 9 to 5 and write a song.
Yeah,
because that's her life.
Yes.
Like that's her job is to write music for other artists.
Yeah.
And then she lives like, but she essentially lives like on a ranch lodge outside of California, and her home is basically just all cats, yes. sort of thing. And so now this woman Diane Warren has the record for the singer songwriter that had the most number ones in the top 10 all playing on the radio at the same time. She has seven songs out of the top 10. That is insane.
That's amazing.
And now, and also back then, like this was all about physical units being sold and albums before streaming. So the woman's sitting on some old cash and coins as well. Like I'm talking like Mariah Carey money at this at this point.
Yes.
I mentioned Mariah Carey again. Go us. Yeah. All right. So I'm really, 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 really excited to talk about this. And also what I realized is that Diane Warren has actually written a lot of songs that like kind of tell the story. It's like the soundtrack to my childhood / coming of age. Mm. So I'm really, really excited to talk about my choices.
Yes,
and I'm excited to hear Asabi and Gracie. So if you want to keep on listening, which I'm sure you do, because you're going to be quite, I reckon, enlightened to the songs that this woman has written, because she has written many, many, many successful songs. She's been nominated for 12 Grammys. She's had number one hits coming out of her...
Wazoo.
And is also a Golden Globe winner and an Oscar-nominated songwriter as well. So keep on listening, and we'll be back with you in just one moment.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back. So, as you already know, we will be talking about Diane Warren. And I'm going to throw the mic over to Asabi.
Oh, hi.
And Asabi is going to ask Grace. Wait, that doesn't work. No, Grace has to ask Asabi.
Okay.
If we're going to go, because then Asabi... No, so wait, hold up. No, do you
Joshua.
Two switch with each other?
Joshua.
Yes.
You interview someone.
Am I interviewing someone first?
Because you're going to be last.
Oh, yes.
We gotta. That's like. Can we edit that out?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Zane,
that's
please a, edit
that. That's a tag.
Oh
edit.
My gosh. Yeah. Now keep yeah. it go in. First. Keep it. Come on, content.
I was like, he's all over it. Yeah. He's like gonna surprise us with who he picks.
That's yeah. right. Actually, I think I went down that road too, and then just got sidetracked halfway through my own sentence. Did. That's actually what
you
happened.
Totally did.
I probably had just had an anxiety attack and just didn't, and that's how I expressed it. So I'm gonna talk to Asabi.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Asabi. How you feeling?
I'm feeling so good.
Oh, good, 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 good. Well, we're talking about Diane Warren, the
yes.
prolific Diane Warren,
yes.
an icon of the pop music songwriting
she
world.
She definitely is. And she has a number of bangers under her belt.
She sure does.
I'm only going to talk about five.
Good, good.
So the first one, and I'm not going in any particular order, just in the order that I sort of thought of them. So the first one is by my cousins, Rhythm of the Night, DeBarge.
Yes. Yes. Shout out to Crystal Method.
That's right. Yes, Crystal Method, RuPaul's Drag Race, season 12. So now, and when I say they're my cousins by marriage. So we're not actually blood related.
Not blood
but,
related. So there's no lineage.
Whatever. Yeah, well, not real, no. so now, this tune came out in 1985. It was off of their fourth studio album of the same name, excuse me, Rhythm of the Night, which and they were under the Motown label. Now, what I like about this song, it is a a party song. It's got this kind of funky bass that sort of starts off, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and it's got this real calypso sort of marimba sounding beat in the melody.
All night long.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Very similar to that. And then, you know, it features Elle's beautiful tenor vocals. So for anyone who knows DeBarge, prior to releasing this song, most of their songs were kind of pop ballady songs, right? And they became famous to a degree because of those songs, but Berry Gordy really wanted them to have a huge dancey hit similar to what Lionel Richie was doing with
they
Rhythm
of the
Night.
They wanted to compete with Lionel.
Yeah, well, he was on the same...
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were on
the
same
label. Success as Lionel.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so he wanted the same sort of success with them. So they approached Diane and they asked for this song. So now this song, it actually catapulted them into pop stardom with this number. So
it's a good song.
It's a fantastic song. Yeah, so it was the biggest hit for them. It reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
America, you know what was going on.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, we had Crazy for You and USA for Africa's We Are the World sitting at number 1 and number 2.
Ah, see, music was good in that era.
It was.
We've talked about 1985 before. In fact, I think we've talked about this song in the 1985 category.
I think we did, yeah. So it was a... And, you know, and it was basically a hit, a crossover hit for them. So that was truly what they wanted it to do. And that's exactly what it did. So it was produced by Richard Perry, who also produced the Pointer Sisters and Carly Simon.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's had a bit of resurgence lately because of RuPaul's Drag Race, as we were just talking about, because Crystal Method, who sort of resembles Elle DeBarge a little bit.
Just the mullet?
Yes, the mullet. Well, and just in the facial features as well.
Yeah. Crystal as a, like the I don't know, I think the pronouns are he and him.
I think so.
But like, out of drag, beautiful,
looking
human.
It looks, like Elle DeBarge.
Yes.
Yeah. So now on my scale of singability, I give this one a 9.
Yes.
That's a good song. All right. So now my next tune. And one thing I will say about Diane Warren is I was going through, a lot of her tunes are sort of pop ballady with a little hint of rock. Yeah, that's kind of her thing.
It is her thing. And she has a certain cadence too. And I think I'll point it out in my list later, but if you don't know if it's Diane Warren, you can actually listen for something that will make it a Diane Warren
song. That's exactly right. So now my second tune is Can't Fight the Moonlight by Leanne Rimes.
Bitch.
This is the moonlight.
I have had many nights drunk and dancing on my countertop to this song. In fact, shout out to my friend Emily. I always have this image. She, one night we were having like an after party for a show, and she, for some reason, decided that because this song came on, she gets on the couch, she poured champagne all over herself.
Wow.
But then didn't have a change of clothes.
Yeah, of course.
So she had to go into our friend's closet and wear like this jumper that was like ill-fitting.
Oh, no.
But yeah, good moment. Love
this
song. Keep
but
going.
This song, totally, it does make me want to get up on a countertop and some shit kickers and like cowboy hat and just coyote ugly my way across. So if you don't know, it is the theme song from the movie Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, that movie
from
gets
2000.
A 4 out of 10 at best.
Yeah, well, yeah, the movie's not the best, but there was a super great song.
Yes, and a super great scene with Adam Garcia stripping on the bar.
I don't remember that, but okay.
Well, the love interest dude.
Oh, right.
Because she had to pay like a fine because of like not having enough water or something like that. Oh no, no. If you let go of the
If you order water,
I think she sprayed the water on the fire.
Marshall, something like that.
And he was like, he gave them like a $500 fine. They had to try and raise the money, and so he stripped for it, and they raised the money.
Yeah, solid script.
I am speechless. That's shitty. Anyway, as we were saying, Diane Warren is known for her ballady sort of soft rock, but this song tries so hard because it's got that jump, and then
under the sun.
Yeah, right. So it's got that hard guitar that comes in, and then it's just this beautiful.
Yep.
And in the video, you've got Leanne Rimes standing on the top of the bar, and she just looks so beautiful. She's not Coyote Uglying at all.
Well, this is her crossover hit.
Yeah, I know.
From country into pop.
Into pop. Yeah, that's right. True. So it's a country rock crossover, is what I call it. Country pop crossover.
And because Shania Twain was killing it, so they wanted Leanne to like have the similar crossover.
Yeah. Mm. And I think she accomplished that because.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but everyone. Also, her country music is lit, by the way.
Her country music is
stunning.
Very good.
Yeah.
But this song sort of reminds me, it gives me that sort of genie in a bottle, come on over vibe, right?
Yeah. Totally.
So I'm sort of hearing that. So now it was a top 10 hit in Europe, in Oz, in New Zealand, Canada.
Yeah,
it hit number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it was in heavy rotation for a number of albums. So it was on her compilation, the I Need You album, and it was on her greatest hits. It's a Graham Stack, who is a British producer-songwriter. He did a remix of it, and that got some heavy rotation.
There's a great
dance
remix to it, and the melody suits it. So it's like, you can try to resist.
Yes, yes. I've heard
just
that.
To hide from my kid.
Yeah, and I mean this song. It's a great song. Yes. It is a great song. I really enjoyed it.
Can't wait to play it.
It's just a fun song. So on my scale of singability, I give it an 8.
Yeah.
Good old Liam. Now my next tune.
I've learned a question.
Oh yes. Okay.
When I was. I only know like maybe 5 or 6 Leanne Rimes songs, but they all seem to be written by Diane Warren.
Oh, really?
I think we'll be mentioning Leanne Rimes a few times tonight.
Yeah. Okay, true. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, carry on.
Now, my next song, I actually learned a couple of things about this tune. So it's Don't Turn Around by Ace of Base.
Yes.
Don't Turn Around. Right. 1993 off their album The Sign. Now, this song.
Also, their biggest single from that was The Sign, I think, pretty sure.
Yeah, The Sign was huge.
I saw The Sign.
This song.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on board.
Grace is getting educated tonight, yes.
Ace of Base. What? That's my own voice there.
Is your impression of me?
No.
Hard to tell. It was like looking in a mirror.
This is what a sabi does when a sabi doesn't know anything. She's like, right. So now this song was originally recorded by Tina Turner.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I did not know this. And I listened to the Tina version and it is very different. Well, not too. Yeah, no. It is quite different. So when Ace of Base recorded it, they did it in a minor key. So they changed it around. They sort of updated it a little bit for the 90s. So it's got a bit of that electronica sort of Euro pop sound that was coming through in the 90s. I love how it's kind of a ska influence on the song in terms of the bass and drums. So they're using drum machines. And they've got these little electronic moments that happen throughout the pre-chorus. So they've really updated the song. It's really nice. Now, this was co-written by Albert Hammond, who is a singer-songwriter producer. So, he had the hit It Never Rains in Southern California. That was his hit, which is a total lie. It totally rains in Southern California. I was shocked when I moved there. Anyway, so this song hit number 1 in Canada, number 4 in the US, number 5 in the UK, and it was the third most popular song in the US in 1994.
Come on, 94.
I give it a 10 on a Sabi scale. Hey. Yeah. I used to sing the hell out of this song when I was young.
I bet.
All right, so moving on. My next song. I love this song. If I could turn back
time. Oh, this is.
Do you know who sings this song?
Do I know who sings this song? Are you freaking kidding me?
I don't know.
Sherilyn is her real
Sherilyn,
name.
Sherilyn. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Cheryl Lynn. Cheryl. Yep. Love this. I think what I love most about this song is the video.
Me too.
The outfit that Cher wears. That is my single most favorite outfit that I've ever seen on a performer ever.
It's a pop culture moment.
It is. It was iconic. The music video was iconic. The outfit was iconic. The song. And would you believe that Cher did not want to record this song?
And she's had a few moments like that with Diane Warren, because they have like a very tumultuous artist
relationship. So this song, I'm just see if my computer's frozen all of a sudden. No, there we go. This song was actually written for Cher by Diane, so she wrote this. Sorry, I've just lost my place in my notes. And I've got some nice little fun facts here. So what Warren claimed in 1991, she asked Cher to record the song, and Cher was like, "Fuck off," right? And so she says, "I got on my knees and I pleaded. I told her I wasn't going to leave the room until she said yes. And finally, just to get rid of me, she did." And then later, Diane said she really hated it. "But I held her leg down during a session." She held the woman's leg down. "And I said, 'You have to record it.' And now Cher just went, 'Fuck you, bitch. You're hurting my leg. Okay, I'll try it.'" Which, you know, that's totally like Cher. And then, of course, she ended up loving the song.
And she sounds so good on the record, too.
So
I'm just
good.
Like, wow. Imagine like sounding amazing and still hating it.
Yeah.
Actually, I go through it.
Right? And so this was basically Cher's major comeback song. This was a huge comeback for her. It was a global hit. Number one in Oz, number three in the US, number six in the UK, number one in Norway.
No one knew what was up.
Yeah, right. It was certified gold. And at that time, that was 500,000 copies.
Half a million, yeah.
Yep. It's a great tune. I feel like, even though, because it was 1989, right? So it's kind of like that last 80s hit.
Yes, it sure is,
right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a swan song, the 80s swan song, if you will. And then everything sort of changed once we hit the 90s. But
the songwriting formula of that song is amazing too, because it suspends, like it keeps you in suspense to get to that chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it goes into the pre-chorus, that's such a great transition to go into.
And then there's a key change.
The secret key change. Yeah, like it comes out of nowhere. Well, it's not a secret. It modulates. Randomly, because it modulates halfway through a chorus.
Oh, right. Okay.
If
I could reach the
stars. It does that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really good.
Sorry. Yeah. Grace is like, what?
There's a lot of passion about Cher here. That's Cher's career. She's always had a song that revamps her career.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's had like 20 farewell tours. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So and also, she's got the record for having a number one in every decade since 1960.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good on her. Does she? Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Except for the last decade, she did not get a number one.
All right. I was about to say,
like this pause.
As in this, from 2010 to 2020.
Yeah, right.
Well, she's like 100, so.
She is.
Did she release much? I mean, apart from Burlesque?
Burlesque.
We'll talk about Burlesque.
Yeah, okay. So, anyway.
But she did release an album and had this song, Tell the Truth. This is a woman's world. But the best part about that music video is that there's a wig made out of newspaper.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And so. She's like 73 now, isn't she? Because I'm pretty sure she's the same age as my dad.
Yeah, she's seen the world.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
A few times.
Done it all. Yeah.
She's very political too. Oh, also her music ended up being a musical called The Cher Show.
Yes, that's right.
And Stephanie J. Block finally got a Tony for Best Actress playing Cher.
Yay. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. All right,
enough about Cher. Back to Diane Warren.
Back to Diane. All right, I've got one more. Oh, and that gets a 9 on my scale.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. It's like fucking amazing song. Just everything about it. And I'm just going to say about her outfit in that video.
The leotard.
It reminds me of Trinity the Tuck. Do you know the drag queen?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, Trinity the Tuck looks a base of a Cher. Absolutely.
Exactly. And I mean, like, just
she could be a Cher impersonator, just like Chad Michaels.
Yeah, she could be. Anyway, looks-wise.
Looks-wise, yeah.
All right, so now my last song is one of my favorites, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship.
Starship.
Yes. Oh, love that. Now, this was on their second album. So for those of you who don't know, Starship is a continuation of the band Jefferson Starship. And so they had a little falling out, breaking up, change of members, and went through court and had to change their name. So they just dropped the Jefferson and went on as Starship. So this is technically off of Starship's second studio album, 1987, called No Protection. But it was also the theme of the film Mannequin. I don't know if you guys remember that movie. Maybe not. No. Yeah, okay, yeah, no, you're probably too young for that. This was one of my favorite movies. Like, and when I say favorite, as a child, I probably watched it every day during the summer, like, because I just couldn't get enough. I just loved it. It's a movie about this woman who travels through time, and she gets trapped in the body of a mannequin, and only one man can see her, and she comes to life at night, and then, yeah, and he's like a window dresser for a big department store. Yeah, it's cheesy because it's the 80s. Yeah, but
is it a rom-com?
Yeah, it's a rom-com. Nice. Yeah, it's so much fun. So again, a rock ballad. So this song, it starts off nice and ballady, but then towards the end, it progresses to like a full-blown rock pop number. Again, there's a key change just after the main guitar solo. It follows that 1-6-4-5 chord progression all throughout the entire song, and then it has the key change, but it still follows that same chord progression. It's got strings, they're electronic. It's got a 4-on-the-floor beat. It's everything that's a pop music, and it's a bit of a duet as well. So Grace Slick and Mickey Thomas from the band are singing the song together, so it just kind of gives it that nice sort of girl-boy, male-female sort of interaction because it fits with the film. So again, this is another tune that was co-written by Albert Hammond, and it was number one on the Billboard Hot 100, so it was Warren's first number one. This was her very first one in 1987. And it topped the charts in Canada, the UK, the Republic of Ireland, and it was also nominated for a Best Original Song at the Academy Awards.
Hey.
Yeah, so it did really well. On my scale of singability, I gave it a 10.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes, it's a good song. Those are my tunes. Oh. I have no honorable mentions. Although I probably could have, but
that's this episode. Yeah, we'll go for 7 hours. So, well, thank you so much for letting us know your choices. I am just like, I didn't realize how much of a stan I am of Diane Warren until like I was researching this. So,
yeah.
I can't wait to get into this playlist. Well, we're gonna have a little breaky break, and we're gonna come back. We're gonna hear what Gracie chose. Okay. All right, stay tuned.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up? In today's episode, we are discussing the songs and music of Diane Warren. So I just gave my 5 choices, and now we're going to touch base with Miss Gracie Mack.
Hello. Well, this was not challenging, but it just took a bit more time than expected because, as Josh said, I was amazed by the huge list of songs that Diane Warren has done. And there were some definitely so much like pop ballad stuff, but some really like left of field.
Yes. She's quite,
stuff.
She's more versatile than what she gets credit
Super
for.
Super versatile. Yeah. There was one by, she wrote for Snoop Lion when he was Snoop Lion for that brief period. Like crazy.
Yep.
So I was really amazed. And it took me a while because I went through all of the song list because I didn't really know who to go for.
Yeah, there's an alphabetical list on Wikipedia, actually.
Yeah, I went through that to start off and get inspired. Yeah,
that's a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a long time. but, you know, because there's so many, like, I didn't even know what avenue to go down. You know what I mean? It was a huge learning curve for me and very exciting to learn about such a prolific songwriter. So I'm going to start off with a song that did not do well. But I thought it was really cute and funny. It's called It Isn't, It Wasn't, It Ain't Never Gonna Be.
Yeah.
And it's Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston.
Oh, yes.
It's so funny to think that like two of the biggest divas in the world didn't have a very big hit.
I know, it's so weird. So this song, it's quite upbeat. Like, it's not in the pop ballad vein that we've been talking about that Diane is so good at writing. It falls under New Jack Swing that Asabi has brought up in past episodes. Yes. People check them out.
She's a fan of the Big Jack.
She's the Big Jack Swinger.
wow. Please, no.
So, I'm sorry. I've never said that about you. I'll never say it again.
I do not swing that way.
Oh, I do. Bring it up.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yes.
Anyway. So this was released on Aretha's album, her second single from her 1989 album, Through the Storm. It was also co-written by Albert Hammond, who did a lot of this stuff. Okay. Prolific songwriter in his own right.
Yes,
he wrote for a lot of people that Diane Warren wrote for, like Celine Dion, Diana Ross, Tina Turner.
Oh, can't wait to get to this.
This peaked at number 41 on the Billboard Hot 100. So good. And then hit number 5 on the R&B hip hop chart.
We know
so,
it's
yeah, it's a good. I really like the song. It's a cute little dance track. And critically, really panned, not good. This All Music editor William Ruhlman called it, and I quote, "an embarrassing failure for both Franklin and the previously pop perfect Whitney Houston."
Oh god,
it's pretty rough. That's which is like way too harsh. Like I thought it was a
well,
good
song. Well, yeah, isn't it so funny that Whitney's foray into the charts was pop music and not R&B?
Yeah.
Because Clive Davis wanted to give her a shot at the charts, and they wouldn't let her do R&B and gospel.
Yeah. The video clip is interesting. I couldn't find any information on it, but it is very clear that they did not film a video clip. But there's a
compilation,
like official video clip released on like Aretha's Vivo whatever on YouTube. It's a two concerts, like stage live concerts. Like it's two other film clips that they filmed and it's spliced together. And then sometimes they have like a random close up sweeping shot of like a still of Aretha's face. Look, it's not great. It's like it's like they're both jamming on stage, but clearly to completely different songs.
Yeah, right.
They're dancing and singing to completely different songs. Like it was pretty like a lazy effort. And like I guess, you know, like they're both huge stars, so I assume they just couldn't get their schedules to work. But whoever cut that together was like, guys, come on, you could have done better.
That's a hot mess.
Yeah.
It was probably her like grandson.
Yeah, maybe someone's like, we need a video clip for this. And then, yeah. Well, I mean, I wonder if they didn't film one because it was such a flop, but who knows. Yes. Moving right along. So that was 1989. In the same year, we had another song called When the Night Comes, released by pianist and growling vocalist Joe Cocker.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, from his album One Night of Sin. So Diane co-wrote the song with Canadians, the singer Bryan Adams.
Oh, everything I do.
Yeah. And Jim Vallance, who would write heaps for Bryan Adams. So they were kind of a duo already, and they co-wrote this with Diane.
I just grew up in the wrong era of music. I would have loved to have been like a teenager during this.
Oh, yeah. You would clean up.
Yes.
And Bryan Adams actually plays rhythm guitar on this track, on this recording.
Of course he does.
Of course
he
bloody does.
Yes.
And hit number 11 on the US charts and was Cocker's last top 40 US hit.
Right.
Really?
And everything downhill from there.
Oh.
well, in the US anyway. Now, I'm a big Joe Cocker fan for nostalgic reasons. I probably, I mean, he's got some great piano stuff and like I really like how messed up his voice is and he still is able to sing somehow. So that's always kind of fun to be like whoa, what's going
like
to happen?
Jimmy Barnes, it's like, so you still have a voice?
It's exactly like that. You're like, how? Yeah. You're just vocal cords of steel, I guess.
Yes.
But yeah, so like when I was a kid, I used to listen to a lot with my parents. So it's really nostalgic for me, and it's also hella 80s. It's just insanely 80s. It's got that big reverby snare.
Yep.
You know, that
real
80s power ballad thing. Reverby piano as well. It's got these great gospel BVs that Joe Cocker does really well. And this distorted kind of bright, rocky guitar. So super, super 80s power ballad. The chorus is great. It goes, I just want to be the one you run to. I just want to be the one you come to. It's great. It's a real good rocker.
Yes. I was jamming along while you were singing that.
Good, good. Moving along here, we've got to scroll up because I'm on a phone. Because my laptop decided to die right before this. Pray for me. Okay, here I am. Now, going to...
I did pray. I was getting ready.
I was like,
Hyundai Mitsubishi Toyota. I was speaking in tongues. Sorry.
Moving 10 years later.
Come on.
1999. Well, 1998, sorry. Sorry, it's 1998. 9 years later. I have chosen potentially a big faux pas because it's Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Oh, I love that song personally.
No.
In fact, I'm going to clap you.
Oh, no.
That's what I've chosen.
Don't want to close my eyes.
I love this song,
I'll
even though it's lame as shit.
You.
No, I know. I know.
Okay.
I'm familiar.
All right. Okay. Apologies.
Stay tuned for our favorite section later. Yeah.
Also, stay tuned for the fact that you know that like Asabi is known to choose your.
She is known.
Yeah.
I just want to say she had not filled out her section when I made that choice.
Okay. I was late to the party. That's true. That's true. So Power Ballad, Don't Want to Miss a Thing by American rock band. I read somewhere that they were called a hard rock band, which there ain't nothing hard about Aerosmith. Like, that's
there
just
were between a hard and a rock
I'm sorry,
place.
Yeah. But dude a looks a like place. A lady. That's pretty hardcore.
Oh, no, this song, though, Walk This Way is so
Walk
hardcore.
This way.
Especially with Run DMC.
Just, I mean, in his tongue.
That video clip is
the
amazing.
The way he was like humping the mic stand, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So 1998, from the soundtrack for the disaster movie, Armageddon.
Armageddon.
That very famously Steve Tyler's daughter was in, Liv Tyler.
Yes. Liv Tyler's in that one, yeah.
There you go. Steve Tyler, for those of you babies listening, is the lead singer of Aerosmith. And the song debuted number one. People fucking loved it.
It was
they
a big
ate
movie,
it up.
Too. Yes.
Yeah. Huge, yeah, yeah. Movie. It was a really epic soundtrack along with the epic movie. On the Billboard Hot 100, giving the band their first and only number one single in the US.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I believe it.
Oh, I like crazy it. Crying.
They were like an acquired taste band. Mm. Like, not everyone, like people loved, but like people didn't like stan Aerosmith like other bands. It was really
they
weird.
Like, well, they had more success overseas.
Like overseas. Like Anastasia.
Really? I thought Aerosmith
oh, really?
Was
yeah, do you know that Anastasia very rarely cracked America, but cracked everywhere else?
Not true.
I did get one of her albums, though, Anastasia.
In Australia, she was huge.
Yeah, yeah, she was huge. Yeah.
But she wasn't that huge in America. She had one hit in America.
I'm out of love.
Was it that one?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Now, baby, come on.
That was the
sorry.
Biggest one.
Yeah, it was like a dance.
I love that one. I wonder if you know how it really feels.
Yeah, that's good.
To be
yeah.
left outside alone.
I think it
anyway,
was
Aerosmith. Back to Aerosmith.
As long as we're going to be talking about Anastasia.
So
oh, no.
they, Anastasia. Yeah. So yeah, it was our only number one hit in the US. It stayed number one for 4 weeks, but then was it? It was also peaked number one in Australia.
Of course it did.
Ireland, Greece, Germany, Austria, Italy, the Netherlands, and Switzerland.
That's
cleaned up.
Netherlands, yeah.
Cleaned up.
So good.
Inspiration for the song came for Warren when she was watching a Barbara Walters interview with James Brolin and Barbara Streisand.
Right.
Mm. And they were talking about their undying love for each other. Mm. And Brolin said he missed Streisand when they were asleep. And during that interview, Diane just wrote the line, I don't want to miss a thing, just as like a little note for herself. And then later in a recording session, came up with the song. I was nominated, this is why I thought it was 1999, in the 1999 Academy Awards.
When?
Okay.
Like the one with a lot of nines.
I'm pretty sure When You Believe by the Prince of Egypt was nominated.
Yeah, thanks for finishing my note.
Oh, I did it again! I always do this! I only call it to Mariah Carey.
You
fact.
Do this, you get so excited. You're like, wait, is it?
It's a Mariah fact. I know this.
Oh my God. So
it was a nominated for Best Original Song, but was beat by When You Believe. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry about this. I didn't realize you were going to use that. When we started, we just start writing fun facts in our notes as
having
well.
Them so
that,
down, like, this one's mine.
Yeah,
can't
exactly.
Have it.
So I don't come in and be a thunder stealer.
That's
so,
right.
Stephen Schwartz wrote that song. He also
When You Believe.
When You Believe. He was the composer of like Wicked. And
oh, so much.
And then Babyface. Rewrote the bridge. That's the part that goes, they don't always happen when
Babyface wrote that.
Yeah, and then without Stephen Schwartz like knowing about it.
Oh.
And then Stephen Schwartz apparently doesn't acknowledge that bridge.
Yes, we talked about this.
We talked about this.
We have
talked
about this.
Because it was like against his wishes.
Yeah. Well,
because usually it would be the Hebrew part. In the movie.
Yeah,
but then Babyface is like, well,
nobody knows Hebrew.
Also, I'm not asking Mariah and Whitney Houston to sing like in Hebrew. Yeah. We can barely get them into the studio together.
Anyway,
so I really like this song. I really enjoy the arrangement of this song.
Yeah.
The horns and strings. It's really beautiful.
And nostalgia.
Nostalgia. And unfortunately, it's so cliched now that like all the sentimentality is kind of ruined. ripped out of it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
But at the time, it was like this beautiful sentimental ballad that people saw as like a genuine romantic thing. And now it's kind of like a joke.
Yeah.
A jokey romantic thing. Moving along, I got two more.
Yes.
We are going to 2007.
It's like
wow.
A year.
Jumping up.
Huge jump.
Yeah. Well, massive. I mean, she's had such a
first
huge year
out
career.
Of high school, 2007 for me.
Ew. My last year of high school. Yeah.
Ew.
Graduation, yeah.
Thanks, Grace.
Now, this is Anthony Hamilton. who, if, for those of you who don't know, is a really beautiful vocalist.
Yes,
big in the R&B scene, bit of soul as well. And it's a song called Do You Feel Me? that, of course, Diane Warren wrote. I think she wrote by herself, but it was produced by Hank Shockley, who you guys may know from the Bomb Squad, hip-hop production team.
Right.
That were famous for working with Public Enemy, mostly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Hank Shockley came and did production on this outside of the Bomb Squad. Bomb Squad. Sounds so white saying that. The Bomb Squad.
Bomb Squad.
Okay, so this song is a radio-only single, which I take to understand, maybe you guys can help me out here, because I looked that up like and got no help, that it was just not released on anything. It was literally just a single, and they played it on the radio.
Yeah, that sounds like it's not on an album.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. But it's from the movie American Gangster with Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
So I suppose it was on that soundtrack, so I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It may not have been, though.
No?
Yeah, but that happens sometimes. So a song will be used in a film, and you can't find it anywhere. It's not on the soundtrack. It's just...
Okay, well, maybe it was that. Maybe it's that. Because it was actually, it was
that does happen, because I get pissed off when I like hear a song and I really like it, and then I go looking for the soundtrack, and I can't find the song, and I can't find it anywhere, and I'm like, no! Anyway.
So this song is Sex a Jam. It's just like a sexy jam about seducing someone. It just stays in this like R&B groove with Anthony like riffing over the top. It's just like one little kind of shortish song. And it's ranked number 46 on Rolling Stone's 100 best songs of 7.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure like he got like a bit of like this, he got a lot of coverage because he was a guest on Dave Chappelle back in the mid-2000s, like a music guest.
Oh, yes.
And then like that really kind of like him. On Comedy Central. It was Comedy Central, wasn't it?
Yeah, Comedy Central.
And they kind of like got like similar when you go on SNL and they kind of like...
Yeah, they sort
like
of get,
like
skyrocket.
This huge skyrocket sort of thing. Similar thing.
I actually remember his song. I don't remember the name of his song, but I remember him being on the show, and because I always felt that the lyrics to that song were just like, what?
Whatever he sang,
yeah. And I was like, no, I didn't connect.
I couldn't connect.
Something about having to make money for his baby and his baby mama or something. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, he's got a lot of songs about that.
Yeah.
he got a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean it was a croonery kind of. It was a very soulful sort of.
Yeah,
tune.
That's always his vibe. Yeah. Well, this song was nominated for the 2008 Broadcast Film Critics Association Award.
What?
For Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Song. I mean, there's not much on the song, but I really liked it. I love Anthony.
But the critics liked it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It only
got a nom. It didn't get a win. But you know, I was excited that Diane had written for Anthony Hamilton because it's a huge plethora of people that she's written for, and he is someone I didn't expect to see on the list.
Yeah, there's so many people.
Yeah, my fifth and final song is 2014. It's by Paloma Faith.
Love Paloma Faith,
the English singer. Yeah, who I kind of forgot about, you know, like but I remember really liking her when she first came out.
Me too.
Only Love Can
Me
Hurt
too.
Like This.
Oh, that was a radio. Yeah, heavy spin, huge. For sure.
Yeah.
You'd walk past like a jean store and you hear, Only Love Can. I'm like, that's a lot of drama for denim.
So it was released as the second single from Paloma Faith's third album, Perfect Contradictions, in 2014, and picked at number 6 in the UK and is her highest charting single.
Yes.
Nice.
It reached number 1 on the ARIA charts in Australia. We loved it.
Yeah, we did. Yes.
Yeah, we loved it.
So I was playing at every
Jeans store.
West.
Fits best. Remember that was the ad? Jeans West fits best.
Yeah, that's good. God. Simple rhyme as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, initially, Paloma refused the song because she didn't have a writing credit on it. It was just totally written by Diane. And on her previous two albums, she wrote every but one song. So she's used to writing the entire album.
Yeah.
Or at least co-writing the entire album. So she was quite resistant to the idea of this song. But then when she listened to it, the lyrics, she was overwhelmed by how connected she felt to the lyrics. And it was like exactly describing how her emotional life was at the moment within her relationship. So she lapped it up. And it was a huge success for it. It's a good honor.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Paloma's style, if you haven't heard it, it's pretty retro, lots of Motown and like 60s soul influences, and this song is right up her alley. Keeping in that vein, is a 60s style ballad, using mainly brass and drums to create the feels. It's this kind of like stripped back thing. It's got this great emotional peak where I think it's like the second chorus, she jumps up the octave, and it's really great for Only Love Can Hurt Like This.
I didn't realize that she could like sing like that.
I know, because everything is so low for pretty much everything else she does, right? So yeah, it's quite thrilling to hear when someone belts so well and it kind of comes out of nowhere, and it suits the song because it's not
gratuitous at all, like in the way.
It's not like look what I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's a really beautiful emotional peak that makes sense in the song and you don't expect, which is cool.
Well, there you go. Those are my five
beautiful Gracie.
Yeah, dallyings into Diane Warren's life. It's
very
exciting.
Thank you so much. Those are amazing. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we'll come back with.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Josh's Choices.
Hello, welcome back, everyone.
What's up?
We have been talking about prolific songwriter Diane Warren, and we're here with Josh. What are your choices, Josh?
Hi. Oh, don't get a nice intro like everybody else. No,
just about a beautiful, iconic singer of Brisbane. No, no. Star.
Oh, my God. Okay, stop now. All right. Okay, so as I said in the intro, I didn't realize how many songs Princess Diana. Diane Warren had written, where it's been like she's basically written a very big soundtrack of my life because I am a highly emotional, non-monogamous romantic person. It's really weird. I think she's written a lot of songs where to me I'm like, I think she's written a lot of like love pop ballads that are more ideologies for me, and they don't actually I don't actually like put them into my real life, if that makes sense. Anyway, she is the 90s pop ballad queen, by the way.
Yes.
So I've got a few choices. The first thing, I'm just going to go straight off the bat because we kind of sort of mentioned her before, was she wrote Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
For all those times. I can't sing it without doing Celine. Like,
you immediately
into that you made me sing.
Celine.
Arranged by David Foster too, who's like a really famous producer as well. And he's actually produced quite a lot of Celine Dion stuff as well. And always like rings him, apparently he's always ringing her going, so we want you to hit the high F, like, or the high G, like, oh, in this God. Arrangement. He's like, he's really like about, like, he like really stretched Celine beyond what she thought that she could even sing herself. So this song is like, this is a quintessential wedding song. I think I've sung this a couple of times, like when I used to sing for weddings and things like that. You know, they're coming down the aisle, kind of like similar to like From This Moment On by Shania Twain.
Yes, I've sung that at weddings.
Same type of vibe, sort of thing. I love the bridge. You were always there for me. You turned around to carry me. Mm-hmm. And then she has the key change. My voice.
is that something that's common in a Diane Warren
Absolutely.
Song?
Absolutely.
A key change.
Yeah. I think it was on trend, especially in like late 80s, early 90s.
Because it's all these power ballads, so you're showing off your like emotional vocal technique a key change just shifts you up again.
Your dramatic range. Of course, now the song definitely sounds dated if you try to slot it into today's radio, but that's what I like about it too. Like, it's a snapshot of like mid 90s pop ballad, like Celine. Like, I think this was shot to a few people, but Celine took it to the place that it needed to go, sort of thing.
Yeah,
she was nominated for a few World Music Awards. She performed this song in front of Michael Jackson at the World Music Awards. And it was that performance that he was like, wow, Celine Dion's like the best singer on the earth. Like, sort of thing. And so he fell in love with her because of that performance and things like that.
Nice.
It was really, really like, it just went, it hit the top 10 in all the major countries in the world, run number one in the States, Canada and Australia. So we knew what was up down here in the old Oz.
Collectively,
won the Grammy Award for Best Song Written for Visual Media, was nominated for the Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Female Pop Vocals. Also nominated because it was also part of a film as well. Up Close and Personal, starring Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer. So it was also nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song and a Golden Globe for Best Original Song. Yep. Diane Warren's never won an Oscar. She's lost 10 times, but she's been nominated.
But she's been nominated 10 times.
It's surprising.
Because I remember she was on RuPaul RuPaul's What's the Tea, and
that's where I got a lot of this information from.
And she was talking about how she wanted to be an EGOT winner, but she hasn't cracked the Oscars yet.
She's got an egg. Yeah. She's got an Emmy, got a Grammy, and a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
But Golden Globe's not technically a part of the EGOT sort of thing.
No, it's not.
She has no intention of writing a musical. She reckons she'll never
get a Tony.
Yes. But if she produced, she could win a Tony.
Yes, that's true.
That's the back door.
I mean, there's you think there'd be like a huge avenue for people to make a musical with her songs.
Exactly.
And she said that there has been one in development, but it's gone through so many iterations because no one knows how to, like, she doesn't want it to be a jukebox musical. That's the big thing.
And that's what it would be.
Exactly right. So the song is written in D flat major with a slow tempo of 60 beats per minute.
Oh, what? That's slow.
And the peak is the E flat 5 in the song. Because which is cool. I couldn't tell you if we still had like the iTunes play count that we used to have, like, of how many times did you do a song, it would definitely be like close to 5,000, if not more. Like, I kid you not.
Die hard. All right.
So Because You Loved Me, we love it. Beautiful. Lovely. From the Falling Into You album. It was also on the Falling Into You album, which was a big album for Celine Dion as well. Really, really huge. Next. All right. So we'll stay in the mid 90s vein. And I don't know if you all knew this, but Diane Warren wrote Unbreak My Heart.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Till you love me again, undo this hurt when you walked out the door, I walked out of my life. Uncry these tears. Now, a classic Diane Warren story. Toni Braxton hated this song when it was presented to her because she was the R&B girl. She was like, "You're making me high. You mean the world to me." Another sad love song. Like, she was killing. Like I love Toni Braxton. Like, I saw her in concert like maybe 4 or 5 years ago at QPAC.
I saw that concert. Yep. Yes, I was.
Isn't that so weird about when you're in the same room as somebody you never know about it?
Yes, it was so good.
I have so many moments like that with people. And also one of my friends, Jesse, he got to sing with her.
Him?
Yeah, yeah.
God knows I never meant to hurt you. When he opened his mouth, like, there was a collective sigh from the audience.
Excellent. Yeah, literally. And he used to be in a boy group called Random that won the X Factor when they first did it back in 2005.
Oh, wow.
Do you know Zai?
No.
Latu? Oh, yeah. He's like a bit of a corporate singer now these days. But yeah, they were so they literally met on the day. Mm. They were like, "Oh, do you want us to be a boy band?" And they just got together. And because, you know, we South Pacific Islanders, we just don't have to read the music, we just harmonize straight away.
Yes.
And they won the whole show basically just by improvising, which is amazing. Anyway, back to this. So Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart. Now, I've watched like a Diane Warren breakdown of this, like, she said that when she was writing it, it was actually more of a piano song first, and she just liked the fact that she was randomly, because it modulates into the chorus every single time. And you have to really try and make sure that you got the right leading note, otherwise you really F up the chorus straight away, sort of like on a vocal standpoint. And she was like, and she kind of liked that, so she started playing around with this, like going back and forth into this, like from the original key into the modulated chorus back into the original key sort of thing. So Toni Braxton hated the song, but Babyface and L.A. Reid, who were LaFace Records at the time, because they signed her, they were like, "Toni, like this song is going to put you, like, we promise you, you're going to be like a global superstar if this song, if you record this song, like no one else can record this but you," like sort of thing. And she was like, "Okay, I'll do it." And then you listen to it, like, okay, you sound amazing on the record.
Yeah, it's so
No one does a whisper vocal better than Toni Braxton. I was like, "Take back the segue, goodbye." She's so theatrical and sultry. I love her so
it
much.
It is a really good tune.
So this song was number one everywhere. This is the song that she's most known for. This is her career song.
This is the one.
And what's interesting is that Toni, like, she gets no money from it because she didn't write it, sort of thing. And she's been because she's been bankrupt twice as well. Ooh. That's part of Toni Braxton's story. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Is that why she uses her sisters as backup singers?
That part, I actually watched this Lifetime movie where they did like a biopic of Toni Braxton, and the only reason why she brought her sisters along, besides the fact that they can actually sing,
was that
she felt bad that she was the one that was chosen, because L.A. Reid made her go solo when they actually auditioned as a family singer. singing group first. And she even still carries that guilt to this day that she was the chosen one.
Yeah.
And she had to, like, she brought her sisters in for the ride out of guilt.
Yeah,
basically, because like I always say I'll link you. I won't link you, but there is a great story about it. Okay, yeah. So I love, and I just love the end of the song. I'll cry these tears. Without you, I just can't go on. And she just has this note because she's actually an alto contralto, but she like nails this like E5 sort of thing, and it just like soars and soars and soars. And I love like that she like the video. It's that iconic white dress with the big split down the leg, and she's just standing there as a diva, like with the curly hair. Like she looks amazing. Yeah, like it's just,
she's very just striking.
She is very very striking, and just like I just love that she. I remember watching this thing with L.A. Reid. It was like a Toni Braxton, like behind the music sort of thing. And L.A. Reid said, like, you know, Tommy Mottola had Mariah, Clive Davis had Whitney Houston, but we had Toni Braxton. We were proud of that. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, because 90s was all about the R&B diva back in the day.
Yep.
All right, moving on, because we're bored of Josh's voice already. So, now, I don't know if y'all know this as well, but Diane Warren wrote a song with Mariah Carey. So
was it Mariah's theme?
So the song's called
she wrote a lot with
she had never written with Mariah up until that point.
Yeah.
So, but now in the industry, Diane Warren is known as like a hustler. She writes all the time. And she'll be at a party and she's shopping her songs to artists, going, I've just written this song. You should record the song with me sometime. Like she's that like old school, like
Because she's been writing like for a long time. Yeah.
She's like a car salesman with her songs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's always hustling. And that's like her rep around town is like, oh, if you're a singer and you see Diane Warren at a party, she's gonna try and shop a song to you. Because she still thinks that she hasn't reached her peak yet.
She never
wants to stop. You know, so that's what I really, really respect about her. And anyway, so this particular song that she wrote with Mariah was writing for her Rainbow album, and I think Diane had kind of been like trying to shop a song to her at a party one night. And Mariah's like, well, why don't we try and write a song together? I've got some lyric ideas, you know, sort of thing. And if you hear this one, it's like Mariah's always been known for pop ballads. But this is like this incredible mixture of Diane Warren's pop balladness and Mariah Carey's pop balladness and put into one sort of thing. And this was her song. Like she had this is like post Tommy Mottola divorce, and he was still trying to tank her career at the time. And so the whole song is called "You Can't Take This Away From Me." That's why it's called Mariah's theme. Like they can try, but they can't take this away from me. And it but she was still signed to Sony at the time, and they didn't. And she wanted this to be a single so badly, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't promote it.
Yep.
So this is like the original, almost like Twitter in a way. Like she, on her fan website, she asked her fans to request it on radio. And so there were enough fans that were requesting the song on radio that the record label decided to put a little bit of promotion into it because it got a bit of traction. And it didn't really do, like, it wasn't like a huge, like, it wasn't a number one sort of thing. But it's really, really good. And she sounds incredible on it sort of thing. And there's this really, and I remember the first time I ever heard the riff, it was like, what the heck, how do you even do that? sort of thing. And it's at the end of the chorus and the song's like, no, they can't say anything they want to say, which is very Diane Warren to go into the minor sort of thing. And then she does this riff that she goes, that shines for all, And it just never stops. And I'm like, how does someone sing like this? Like, when you play the playlist, you'll know. Sort of thing. But yeah, so we love that song. She also wrote another song with Diana Warren. Why do I keep calling her Diana? Diane Warren. And her wrote another song called After Tonight on that album as well. So they wrote two songs together. And they haven't collaborated since, interestingly enough. Sort of thing. So there's that. And then also then my final choice, which I'm so excited for, is... So it's a Cher song. And it's from Burlesque. And this is the Golden Globe winning song called You Haven't Seen the Last of Me. And it's the one that's at the beginning, Cher, and she's like, feeling broken, barely moving on. And the chorus is like, I've been brought down to my knees. Pushed. And again, when they were trying to find a song for the soundtrack, Cher's like manager was like, "Oh, Diane, I'm trying to get in contact. She's written a song for you." And then apparently Cher was like, "Is this another one of Diane's old fucking songs?" Like,
oh God,
they have such a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah, but she wrote you a number epic one hit. Number one.
They actually are a songwriting marriage that is meant to be, yeah, like, sort of, yeah, thing, because like Diane writes such great songs for Cher, like,
yeah,
really big numbers that suit her voice and sit in her voice so well. I actually think, and I agree, Diane Warren thinks that the next tour that she does, it should be called You Haven't Seen the Last of Me Tour. I think that would be amazing. Like, that would just be like...
Do you know how... So I went to a Cher farewell tour.
Have you seen Cher in concert?
Yeah, of course I have.
Of course you have.
And this was back in like the early 2000s. Mm. Like early 2000s. And I think she did three more after that.
Oh my God. Like, but Cher, just like, she could do everything. Yeah. She's
constantly farewelling the, yeah, world.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
So this song, yeah, all written by Diane Warren. Cher sounds so bloody good. And I actually get really emotional after the bridge and the final chorus, and it quietens down. She's like, this is, she goes, this is far from over. You haven't seen the last of me. And then she's like, oh, she goes, this is far from over. And then Cher just goes, I am far from over. And I'm like, oh my God, I get really emotional by it, because you can hear that, like, obviously, like, you know, she's older now. Yeah. You feel, yeah, probably feel a bit forgotten by the by people. And then she's like, I'm not done yet. Yeah. And I love that.
Cher will never be forgotten, ever.
I hope not. You know what I mean?
I don't think she ever will be. She's beyond iconic.
Yeah, oh, I don't see why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
like, just a pop culture mogul. And I still, like, this song's definitely in like my bedtime zen playlist when I need like my pop ballads, or if I'm feeling depressed one morning, like, this is a song that I'll put on, sort of thing. Like, it's just like, Diane Warren has written, like, every soppy emotional moment, Diane Warren has written the song for that moment for me. Yeah, sort of, yeah, thing. And I'm proud of it.
Aww, beautiful.
That's my choices, guys.
What an emotional
did I do any honorable mentions? Not that I sorry. She did write How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes. Yes. Love that song.
So she wrote a lot of Leanne Rimes songs. Mm. What's up with that? Were they a team for a while or what?
I do not know.
I think Leanne
was at least like five or six.
I think Leanne loves Diane Warren. Yeah, so yeah, it's that, okay, whole thing of like, they're friends. So,
okay, so she, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
And I mean, she writes all the time, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Gotcha. And she wrote a lot for Whitney as well, and yeah, especially the later years. Mm. There's a song from her last album before she passed away, and the song was like her, like, she had that comeback song with Million Dollar Bill that Alicia Keys wrote, which, yeah, was such a good song.
Yeah.
And then she had like her ballad moment, but her voice was nowhere near the quality that used to be, so she was struggling to even hit like a C5, you know, sort of thing. Like, yeah. But the song was called I Didn't Know My Own Strength.
Mm.
And the song goes like, I didn't know my own strength. I was beaten down. I was bullied. Like, she's like doing labeling like all the hardships.
Yes, yes.
And then, but I was able to come through because I didn't know my own strength. And in the end of the verse phrase, it's like, it goes, I thought this was the end of me. I'm like, that's a Diane Warren cadence right, yeah, there. She's like,
yeah,
before moving to the next section. Like, Diane just has this, like, certain signature kind of, like, where she'll go randomly minor, or she'll end a phrase to let people know this is the end of this section, we're moving, yeah, on, sort of, yeah, thing.
She has like a resolution.
Yes, exactly, because lyrically the story changes usually, yes, as well.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's my choices. Sorry.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Judge. Weren't they beautiful, ladies and gentlemen? Those are all of our choices for the amazing Diane Warren.
Yes.
Now, you better stick around. Because we've got our favorite segment coming up.
Yes.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We do. We're back. There we go.
Hello, hello.
I was holding in a burp so badly. Just oh, no. All right, so we've had a great playlist for this week. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really looking forward to driving home to this one.
Yeah.
But it's now our favorite time of the week, which is...
It's the flop.
So with the yin... with the good comes with the bad, the yin and the yang. You know, the pizza... sorry. The pizza with the garlic bread, whatever.
The burp with the Pepsi.
The burp with the Pepsi Max makes you burp. Like, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
And I'm trying so hard to be demure and it's not working. All right, so we're going to start with Asabi. Okay, you love Diane Warren, but what's a song you can't stand by her?
Oh, my God, and I apologize. Gracie Mac.
So fucking sick of it.
Yeah, I feel oppressed by the situation as well, to be quite honest.
I didn't see it on anybody's list. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing. That's it. Yes.
Oh, look, Asabi choosing one of our choices as a flop. Groundbreaking concept.
Okay, wait a minute. Y'all chose my flop as one of your choices.
Did I?
No, she did. Gracie chose it.
Oh, let's not give it too much away.
Yeah. What? No, because I put it down as a flop before she'd put her list up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I didn't like cross-reference any flops.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I never look at that because I don't want to be deterred from my choices.
And good on you. Like, and honestly,
I totally understand why.
Yeah, it's a good song, but it's cheesy as fuck.
It's real cheesy.
I'm sorry, it is cheesy.
Yeah, right.
And it reminds me too much of Crazy and Crying. Do you remember those songs? Crazy, crying, like Aerosmith.
By Aerosmith.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's...
If it's not Dream On, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, right. So it's just one of those songs where I'm just like, oh my God, really. It's so dirgy. So anyway. Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks, Asabi, for
your
opinion.
You're welcome. Great. Yeah.
All right, Gracie, can you please let us know your flop? And please, I hope it's like...
Mariah Carey.
Rhythm of the Night, Debarge.
It's called Music of My Heart by Gloria Estefan and NSYNC.
Yes.
That is such an odd mix.
That's why honestly I put it. Like, it actually, the song itself is actually kind of good. Like, I actually don't mind. It has some, like, interesting stuff. Mm. Is it? Yeah, I don't know. I love Gloria Estefan,
but yeah.
But the performance of it together, it's like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, it's, and JT... And I forget the other one. The other two, like, best singers of NSYNC. What's the other guy's name?
Lance Bass.
So JT and Lance are, like, riffing all over Gloria's verse. They do a verse and a chorus, and it's Gloria's verse, which isn't that bad a verse. But they're, like, and they're in, like, the video clip is, like, in a high school, and she's, like, way older than them. Like, it's just weird. It's not good. That's my flap.
Well... Thanks for that, Gracie.
What's yours, Josh?
All right, so I decided to, like, I don't know if you knew if this person wrote the song. So back in 2004, Casey Donovan won Australian Idol back in 2004, and the winning single was actually written by Diane Warren.
Oh, no way.
And the song went, listen with your heart, listen to your soul. Inside you'll find the answer, the place you need to go. Real deep lyrics, right? Okay. And that was and I'm flopping that because now I listen to it for the lols drunk. Like, my friend James and I, like, our main connection is the fact that we know so much about, like, random Australian nostalgia that we get drunk to it. So, Casey Donovan, she has a great voice, by the way. She's a really, really good singer. The whole catfishing story is still, like, one of the most fascinating things I've ever heard in my entire life. How she, she got catfished. She was catfished by her best friend for 7 years.
Seven years.
Her best friend in real life was pretending to be
another guy.
It
was an online relationship. Had like a voice modulator so they could talk on the phone. Like,
the fuck?
And she never met the person?
Never had met the person. And it was really sad. She's like, I hated myself that much that I wanted it to be real. That's why I just kept on going.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sad.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's shocking. Really,
yes. So we flop catfishes and we also flop.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fucking catfishes.
Yeah. Sort of thing. But yeah, but I, and like, now I'm calling it a flop. When when the song came out, you know, this bitch bought the single and listened to it late at night when I was like crying in my room, like, no one loves me. And I'm like, listen with you. But like, in retrospect, it's not a very good song.
Yeah.
But when you hear it, you'll be like, this is a Diane Warren song.
Yeah. Sort of thing. Totally.
With the epic key change as well.
Yes. Nice.
As always.
As always.
Well, that wraps up another week of Shuffology. My name's Josh DeVetta. We had Asabi Goodman.
Hey.
We're Gracie Hello. Mack. What a great episode this week. Make sure that you reach out to us if you want to let us know any of your favorite Diane Warren written songs.
Yeah, what obscure people has she written for that you know?
Oh, actually, that's good.
So many.
So many.
So, so good. All right, well, have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back with another episode very, very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hello. I hope you enjoyed / are enjoying / will enjoy whatever podcast I'm in right now. Once you're finished with it, why not pop on over to Broadway and Other Kiwi Dreams, a podcast exploring the lives and minds of theatre practitioners in and around the New Zealand performing arts industry. Join me, James Shearer, in a deep dive into what makes this industry tick. You'll hear conversations with some of the top names in the Aotearoa performing arts scene and beyond, from the up-and-coming to the big Shorty Street stars. So, if you're into the performing arts, come on over to Broadway and Other Kiwi Dreams. Because no two journeys are the same, and wherever you are in yours, I hope we can inspire you to soldier on and keep following your Kiwi dreams.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.